If you guys got your Bibles, get that bad boy out. We're going to do this tonight. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but this is so much better than staying home. Oh my gosh, man. So much better. So I'm excited to get into the Word today. We're going to continue on with our message that we were talking about last week. We're going to get into some different stuff, some new stuff. We're going to expound on some things. But before we go any further, shall we pray? Can we pray? Is it okay? Shall we pray? Let us pray today. So Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your graciousness. God, we thank you for your word, because Father, we know that apart from your word, what would we really know? How would we live life? What would we know of you, Father God? So we thank you for this book, for this Bible, that you have preserved it, that you have saved it, that you have caused it to travel through the ages, through the decades, the centuries, the millennia, Father God, that we today can have it to read, and we can have it today to expose to us who you are, who we are, and how those two collide, how those two work together. So, Father, cause our hearts to be softened to hear you. Father, we ask that you would cause the scales on our eyes to fall away, that, God, we would see life, that we would see you as you truly are, that, God, we wouldn't have any other misconceptions. Father, we wouldn't be confused by these things, but, Lord, that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit. God, we say tonight that we have ears to hear. God, tonight we have eyes to see. God, tonight we have a heart that is ready to be molded by the hands of Jesus. So, Father, we ask that we would leave this place resembling him. And, God, tonight as we pray, Father, we don't just pray for ourselves, God, but, Father, we pray and we call out, Father God, each and every other youth ministry in the Inland Empire, God, that's teaching the word, that's opening up the Bible tonight. Maybe they did it yesterday or tomorrow, Father God. We ask that you'd bless them just as you bless us. Father God, that you would be with them just as you're with us, Father God. And Lord, we acknowledge them as brothers and sisters, Father God, working in the same field, doing the same job to get your name known to this generation. So God, we thank you for all of our brothers and sisters, Father God, who call themselves Christians. Bless them today, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. And everybody in this house said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's do this. Come on. All right, well, I'm excited. For so many reasons, but of course today, because we get to get in the Word. And today we're going to continue on with part two of a Lego, because we got to go, because it is 2012 now. Last week it was the end of 2011, this week it is 2012, and it is so good to know that there is a fresh new year. Oh man, that is ripe and ready for the picking. Anyway, and as the saying goes, it's kind of funny because Of all the phrases or words to condense, you know, as soon as possible, ASAP, also known as AKA, of all the acronyms one can make, of all the shortening of words, of all the condensing you can do of the English language, Lego has to be probably one of the funnier ones, because how do you really shorten let's go? Thank you. Obviously, as we come to the word today in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, we find that as 2012 is approaching us, as we get ready for the new things that God has in store for us as a church, as a body, and of course, each of us individually, we find that it's going to require us to let go before we say, let's go. And that's kind of where we're at today. Summarizes right here in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. It says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside, let go, put down, get rid of, dispose of, I feel like a dictionary, a thesaurus here, every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. God's saying that you have some place to go and some place to be. There's someone you got to talk to, and there is something you got to do. So you cannot stay still in your life. Otherwise, you will smell like an ego. That just came to me. That one just, as you can, I don't know if you could tell. I didn't plan that one. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. If you're in this room, everybody do the alive test. Do it. You feel it? Okay, if you can feel your breath, that means you're alive, okay? If you're alive in this room, that means you have a plan, purpose, and a destiny for your life. Ain't nobody in this room an accident, all right? And you may have been told otherwise, But you are here on purpose because God wants you and because God needs you to do something. And it says this, let us run the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter. Maybe your Bible says the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, that's really good imagery right there. All that saying this, it's time to let go whatever is going to keep you from going to the place God's called you. Now, we talked a little bit last week about all these things and what all these words mean, and you may not have realized it, but that we were getting into the Greek and all that kind of stuff, because the Bible, you may not realize it, but the Bible was never really originally written in English. It's a translation of the original languages in Greek. Anyway, if you don't know that, now you do. If you don't care, that's okay, you know, whatever. but we got into some of the deep things of that, and now we're going to go a little bit further because here's the thing, there's two things I want to talk about today that as we approach 2012 and the new things God has for you, you just got to release them. You know, we talked about the reasons behind it, but there's two things today that I want you to be careful that you don't carry those things on your back, that you don't bring them into you this next year, and you don't let them get you down. If anybody in this place has ever been a part of cross country or track, if you've ever seen a marathon or ran any type of running event, you know that they wear, those people who run these races wear very small clothing. They're like really tiny. It's like dang, bro, leave something to the imagination, you know? It's just there, you know? And runners generally are really lean. They're really skinny, you know, because you want as little weight on you as possible. You want as little holding you down as possible. I mean, you don't run in like a three-piece suit or like sweatpants and a sweatshirt because, I mean, unless you want to sweat a whole lot, because eventually that's just, or for example, if I have any swimmers in this room, I mean, you got the little tiny Speedos and because you want as little drag keeping you from getting to your destination. It's about speed, brother. So God wants you to shed the baggage. Romans 13, 11 through 12. You don't got to turn it, but I want to read it to you. 11, it says, the night is far gone. The day is at hand. Jesus says, look, it's time to work. Put your work gloves on. So let us then cast off, get rid of, shed, let go the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Next one, it says this. It says, was that? Oh, I'm sorry. I will turn there because that's 12. I wanted to, the verse 11 was really good too. That's okay. You guys are okay. That was my bad. I was all excited. I was ready for the next verse. Next verse get crazy. We're not going to go there. But that next verse is crazy. it is. I'm almost scared to go there, that next verse. maybe I will because I was talking about it. But it says, here's the exciting part I wanted. Okay, 11, it says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, that now is the time. Don't wait for it, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. And here it goes, verse 12, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. What is God telling us? It says, you ain't got time for none of this mess. Look, the day is at hand. You know, salvation, the end is closer today than it ever has been before. Look, I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but he's coming back. And look, if he don't come back for another 200 years, you still only got 80, 90, 100 years to live your life. So every day is another day, another step closer to when you go home to forever. So we got to get on this because you only get 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade once. At least hopefully you do. I mean, if you ever repeat it, I'm not a judge, but I'm just saying. You know, you only get 16 once. So why not make sure your 16th year of life is spent and squeezed out for the things of God? Look, I ain't got time for regrets in my life. So I'm trying to shed them as quick as I can and do the best I can to live my life. And you see, there's two things that have a tendency to bog us down. And it's funny because they're very opposite things. And the first is real easy. It's easy. It's old hurts. Old hurts. You know, we read these verses, and it's not just sin. You know, smoking and drinking and partying and all that. Because that's, you know, that stuff will weigh you down. That stuff will kill your relationship with God real quick, you know. jealousies and God, I mean, all that kind of stuff. That'll cure your relationship with God really quick. But old hurts and pain from the past will stop you. You see, in Hebrews, it said not just the sin that ensnares you, but it also said the weights. You know, maybe it's not sin, but it's extra baggage. Maybe it's past hurts and pains in your life that you just spend kind of holding on to. You know, even today, in my life, every once in a while, I'll get this memory, or like, I'll get really embarrassed. It's really weird. I'll get really embarrassed of things I did in high school. And that was like a long time ago. Okay, I'm getting old. It's like 11, 12, 13 years ago. And I'll remember some things I said or did, or some of the stuff I got myself into. And all of a sudden, it's almost sometimes weird. I can almost feel my cheeks getting red from embarrassment. I'm just like sitting down watching like Dora the Explorer, and all of a sudden it's like, I can't believe I did that. And it was like 13 years ago. Am I like whoo, whoo. And no, seriously. I don't know what Dora just gives me flashbacks. No, you know. Not the backpack. Swiper, no swiping! So totally unrelated.
No, there's nothing related with Dora, you know.
But unrelated, and those old issues or hurts or pains will come back, and they'll try to jump on my back. And I've got to fight, even today, of stuff in my past that I've got to shed. I've got to get rid of it. I've got to throw it off. Because if I get stuck on something that happened in my life 13 years ago, that's done. That's over with. Jesus shut the door on that pain a long time ago. That hurt scarred over and was healed a long time ago. So when my flesh or Satan or the enemy wants to pick at it again to make it bleed again, I've got to tell him, get away. That issue is dead, gone, and done with. I am not going back there. You see, the old hurts and pains from the past can mess around with us. 1 Peter 5:7, we talked about it a little bit last week. 1 Peter 5:7, the Bible says this, one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. If you ever talk about anything, I will probably give you this verse. So you might as well just write it on your hand before you talk to me. But it says this, it says in 1 Peter 5:7, the Bible says, it says, cast all your anxiety on him. Maybe your Bible says, cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Cast your anxieties, your worries, your hurts, your pains, your past. All that garbage, cast it on him, because God cares for you. Because God cares for you. Because you are cared for. Because you are loved. Because Jesus values you. He wants your issues. Jesus subscribes to your issues. You do not need to, because he will for you. He wants to know your business so he can make it his business. So today, what is your anxiety? What keeps you up late at night? What gives you nightmares? What makes it hard for you to sleep? What do you dread to do tomorrow because of the hurt that it's caused you? What skeletons are in your closet that you have refused to deal with? Because my Bible, and I believe your Bible too, says he wants those things. He says, cast your cares, your anxieties, your worries on him, because he cares for you. You see, he wants to take it off of your shoulders and put it on his shoulders. Interesting verse in Matthew 11. You don't got to turn there. I'll read it to you unless you're good and you've been exercising your fingers lately. If you want a little bit of finger exercise, flip them pages to Matthew 11. Matthew 11:29, the Bible says this. Interesting. It says, Jesus is talking to his peoples, and he says this. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke, my burden is easy. My burden is light. You see, Jesus says, I want to do an exchange with you. He says, you give me your problems and you can have my burdens. This is Jesus. It's interesting. If you see the word yoke in the Bible, that has nothing to do with eggs. You know, a yoke was like it was a big collar that the livestock and cows and oxen would have around their neck. And you'd have two, and they'd be attached to each other, and they would and there would be like a plow or something behind it. So that's what it was. It was this huge collar used for pulling this huge plow and burden and tools behind it. Really heavy stuff. And Jesus said, you know, your burdens, the things that are around your necks, the things that you're carrying and dragging behind you, Jesus says, give me those. I'll take those. And I want you to take this, my burden. And see, the burden God gives you, your responsibility is to trust him. See, that's your job as a Christian is to trust God. That's your whole job as a Christian. Your main job. Bible says without faith, you can't please God. Faith is trust. Trust in God. Having faith in God means you trust God. It means you believe God what God says. Your job as a Christian is not to answer your prayers. It's not to heal your family. Your job as a Christian is not to make miracles happen. Your job as a Christian is not to be super guy or super girl. Your job as a Christian is not to do all these amazing, wonderful things and fly around in circles on a cloud playing the harp. That's not your job. Your job is to trust God. That's your job. And you see, when you have anxiety and worry, that means you're not trusting God. It means you're worried about fixing yourself. And it's not your job to fix it. It's your job to trust God to fix it. And when you trust God to fix it, you walk and live your life to get closer to him. See, your job, your main concern in life is to trust God with your family, with your grades, your main job. If you don't know how to do it, then you trust God that he's going to show you how to do it, and then you do it. Because if you're trusting God to show you how to do it, then you go forward without fear. That's the thing. Look, sometimes we get so, even me, we get so bent, God, I can't pray for that because what if it doesn't happen? It's not your job to make it happen. Your job is just to pray for it and trust God. And if it doesn't happen, that's not your fault. It's not your fault. It just means that it wasn't the right timing or God has something better in store for you. Your job, look, I mean, I remember even as a teenager, I remember it was so hard for me to pray for God to heal people because I thought, God, what if I pray for somebody and nobody gets healed? I don't know if you've been around, maybe can I worry about it? It's like, seriously. Well, you can worry about that if you're the one healing them. But I'm not a doctor, so I can't do that. My job is, if God tells me to pray for somebody for healing or for anything, my job is to pray for them. It's God's job to heal them. Because last time I checked, I am not the great physician. I am not Jehovah Jireh. I am not Jehovah Rapha. If you're going to church, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not God. Only God is God. My job is just to say the words and to trust him. His job is to heal them. That's how it works. Your job isn't to save your family. Your job is to love them and trust God that he's going to work things out. And that's the yoke Jesus is talking about. See, if you have hurts and pains in your life, if you trust God, then you can forgive that person that hurt you. See, if you don't forgive them, then you're waiting for revenge. Or you're waiting for, I'm waiting for me to feel just right. I'm waiting for them to get what's coming to them. But that's not the way it works, because you're trying to deal with it. You see, when you say, God, it hurts so bad, but I'm going to forgive them anyway. It doesn't make what they did right. It just means that, God, I'm going to trust that you're going to work everything out and you're going to make me whole again. And all of a sudden, when you forgive and release somebody, because let me tell you this, unforgiveness, only person that hurts is you, because I'm going to tell you, they ain't worried that you're not forgiving them, okay? They're not like thinking, oh, man, I really hurt them the other day and they don't forgive me. Darn, they probably don't even care. They probably don't even know you're bent out of shape. I mean, why are you worrying about it then? You know, when you forgive someone, you're releasing and trusting God to work things out. See, that's your job. Jesus said, look, your worries, give them to me because I will deal with it. That is the only burden we are meant to have. It's the only burden your shoulders were created to carry. Because if you carry any other burden, you're going to get tired really quick and you're going to quit this Christian thing and we're going to say it doesn't work. But the truth is, it's not that it didn't work. We didn't do it right. We're meant just to trust him. And then it's crazy because that's an easy weight. Like, I get it. Okay, I'm not supposed to be all this yuck. I'm not supposed to be like, I get that one. But the second one's kind of a crazy one because the second thing that'll weigh you down, the first one is hurts and pains and all that kind of jazz that God wants to heal us from. I mean, and if you're having a hard time with that, breaking free this Saturday, you've got to be a part of it. If you have that, if you have those burdens on you, those ones I'm talking about, you should check out Breaking Free because that'll teach you how to trust God. Talk to Donnie, Nicole, myself, any one of the workers. It'll change your life. Really good on Tuesday nights. But this next one's kind of a crazy one because it's old victories. The weight of old victories will slow you down and stop you real quick. And this is kind of a weird one because, like, Pastor Rich, I don't really get it. But sometimes what happens is this. Is something really good happens in our life or we're at the top of our game. You've been praying like a madman. I mean, you've been praying so hard that the wallpaper has been peeling off the walls because you've been breathing it down. I mean, it's like, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, you got dead demons outside. You're, no, that'd be kind of weird, you know. That'd be kind of weird. Cool, though, but no, kind of weird. you know, but these old victories, sometimes they can stop us. Because what happens, there's this thing, it's even like a, in a certain business term, but it's called the success syndrome. And what happens is people do things right and they win and all of a sudden they're at the top of their game. And then what happens? They get lazy. They take a vacation. They check out because all of a sudden, you know, I'm the best. I'm at the top of my game. Ain't nobody going to touch me. You know, you think you're invincible. So what happens is you slack up on your game. You let go. Some of the greatest victories in history happened just before some of the greatest failures in history. Because all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden a kingdom or a nation or a company or a business reaches this huge pinnacle of success. And all of a sudden they think they got their act together, so they put their guard down. And as soon as they put their guard down because they think ain't nobody can touch them, this little tiny thing creeps in and takes them down. It's happened to businesses that used to be at the top of their game. And all of a sudden, they didn't think they had to change. They didn't think they had to improve. They thought that they were going to last forever. And they were gone. They were gone. They were gone. Overnight. It's happened to even the strongest nations. Something funny happens in Joshua 1:1. All the way on the left-hand side. We're just about done here. Don't worry. But in Joshua 1:1, there's a really interesting thing that goes on. For 40 years, Moses and the children of Israel, about some anywhere between 1 to 3 million people, have been traveling through this desert, and they've been going in circles. And it's crazy because these are the people that were rescued out of slavery from Egypt. You know, anywhere between 1 to 3 million people, they were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years, and then all of a sudden God started raining down these crazy plagues down in Egypt, and Pharaoh's like, no, I quit, time out, you're done, you know, go, get out of here. So God rescues them miraculously out of slavery, and all of a sudden, you know, for 40 years, they're walking around this desert, all these millions of people, and you know, it's difficult, you got to feed 3 million mouths. So God miraculously covers them with these clouds that keep them shaded in the desert from the desert heat. And at night, you know, there's this heat and this fire that keeps them warm at night. And every morning, it's crazy. God has this delivery service of food that comes down from heaven. I don't even know how it happened. It's a miracle. But for 40 years, the Bible even says that their clothes didn't even wear out. Come on, somebody tell me, God, I want that miracle. Don't let my clothes wear out or my shoes, because you know I don't want to buy new ones. And this happens, and all of a sudden, they're at the top of their. Every need they have is taken care of. It's in the book of Exodus, and then Moses dies. He was in charge. Moses, the man, dies, and they have a choice. They can either go on to the promised land, which has greater things, or they can stay in their desert that they've been doing. Some of these people, they were born in the desert, and that's all they knew were the desert. Every need that they had were taken care of. They weren't attacked or accosted in a sense. And all of a sudden, it says this in Joshua 1:1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of God, the Lord turned and said to Joshua, the number one guy. He was the vice president. Now brother's the president. He says, the Lord says to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He says, Moses is dead. Now, therefore, go, arise over the Jordan, you and this people, to the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. And God, you know, Moses says, all right, it's done, over with, let's move on. Phase 2, engage, let's do this, buddy. You know, all of a sudden, you know, they're at the top of their game in a sense. They used to be slaves, now they're free. Now he says, let's go on. It's time for part 2. You see, these people had these great victories, and they had a choice to either stay with what they knew or go to greater things and fight the next battle. And in your life, if you find yourself at a great victory, whether it's over an issue or a habit, maybe it's in your family, you know, a victory is not your entitlement to vacation in your faith. A victory in your life is not an entitlement to a vacation in your faith. And see, yesterday's victory should never stop you from going on to tomorrow's victory. You see, every victory should be greater than the next. You should always move because if you get comfortable in one area, if you're not careful, you're going to get stuck there. Some people remember the good old days and they never get out of them. Have you ever heard an old person talk about the good old days? It's kind of sad, you know? Yeah, there's, I mean, there's like an 80-year-old woman on a rocker in the front of her house with like 15 cats surrounding her talking about the good old days, you know? It's like, it's weird, you know? It's like, get rid of the cats, lady, get a haircut, and let's go like dancing or something, you know? It's like, you still have life in you, come on, you know? You know, and the Bible says we're supposed to go from glory to glory, from good to gooder to gooderest. That's the way it's supposed to go. God's never meant for us to sit on our butt and wait. You know, is it, look, Moses is dead, guys. Let's move on. Let's go on, you know. Celebrate the guy, you know, honor the guy, but we got places to go. In your life, when something is done and you did well, great, let's move on. Look, you got to get this out of your head. I can't wait till high school is over because then there's no more homework. Like, I understand. I've been there. But if that's what you're waiting for, I'm going to tell you, you'd be sorely disappointed. Because then you have to start paying bills. And they don't give you extra credit for that stuff, you know? Yeah. And then it's college. And then it's, you know, hey, look, if you can't survive junior high and high school, you're not going to survive the next step. Or you're going to be like 45 years old living in your mom's basement, not shaving, and it's going to be a bad picture. All right, because you don't want to be stuck there. You don't want to be stuck there. I mean, God bless moms, okay? Whatever. But you don't want to be stuck there. You have to go from glory to glory. You cannot relive the glory days of your past, and you can't let it get started. In John 6:58, I just want to read this to you real quick. John 6:58, we're going to shut this bad boy down. Jesus was talking about that bread, about the food that was coming down from heaven that they were that God was giving. He says, guys, this bread that came down from heaven, no, it's not like the bread that your fathers ate in the desert because they died. He said, look, hundreds of years ago, you cannot live off of yesterday's miracle. Because even though it was a miracle, you need a new, fresh thing for this year. You cannot live on yesterday's memory verse. You cannot live off of your prayers from last week. You need fresh vision. You need fresh victory. You need fresh miracles. Because a miracle that God did in my life a year ago ain't going to help me out today. I need a new thing that God's doing in my life. And the victories that God's called me to yesterday have called me to greater things tomorrow. Because if all I can remember is what God did in my life yesterday, and I don't know what God wants to do in my life today and tomorrow, I am living in the past, and that's exactly where the enemy wants you. He wants to keep us busy with the little things so we miss the big things. We've got to be moving to, look, if your life is easy right now, you need to push forward and do something harder. Look, if you can skate by your normal classes, it's about time you get an AP or an honors class. Look, if you were top dog in your JV, why don't you try out for varsity? Look, if you got it solid praying in your own personal life, how about you step it up and look for somebody to pray with publicly and ask people if they need prayer? Look, if you're cool and you're comfortable in the back row, how about you step it up closer and start breathing up on me in the front row? Look, if you have a Bible, how about you bring your Bible? If you bring your Bible, how about you read your Bible? Look, if you read your Bible, how about you memorize your Bible? Whoa, if you memorize your Bible, how about you pray your Bible? Hey, if you can pray your Bible, how about you start preaching your Bible? If you preach your Bible, why don't you be a pastor? I don't know. There's always something greater to go on to. Even me in my life, I've got to challenge myself in these things. I mean, I think the majority of the youth staff, we're fasting for the next couple of weeks till the 18th and two Wednesdays from here. We're fasting for you guys. You know, some of us are even, you know, we're going through the whole Bible in a year and stuff like that. We're going through, I mean, some of us, you know, we're doing these things to challenge ourselves so we can be sharp for you guys. And if you guys want to join in, you're more than welcome to as well. But, you know, that's what we're doing, keep ourselves sharp. Because as leaders, as youth leaders, we got to keep ourselves on point so we can lead the way to take you guys to where God wants to take you in 2012. And we'll talk about that all next week. But I don't know about you, but you have to begin to let things go. Don't ever say the good old days unless the good old days is just the beginning of the greater days of tomorrow. And if you have hurts from the past, trust God, because he wants your anxieties. He wants your hurts. He wants your pains, because your burden should be to trust God. God's burden is to be the healer of your life. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it mixed up, because it shouldn't be the other way. If you guys just got that out of God today, let's give him praise.